It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
Welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. Our title for today is A CEO's Secret Weapon, How to Accelerate Success. And joining us in a few minutes to talk about this is going to be Dr. Froomey Rachel Barr, who did some research for her book of the same title, and it led to lots of interesting things besides just a book, one of which was the founding of CEO Virtual Roundtables, and that's going to be fascinating to find out more about. I'm really looking forward to today. I've known Froomey for quite a while. She's a good friend and a coach that I truly respect. But before we get to her, if you're listening to our podcast, where were you when we were live? Well, anyhow, thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check our archives for some other shows with some great guests. And if you're going back more than 3 or 4 weeks, then go to our Podbeam site, dgefeller.podbeam.com, and that's where you'll find all of our shows going way back. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. So just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, let's get right into today's show. I can hardly wait. Froomey, are you with us?
I am, and I can hardly wait.
Before we get into your book and sort of the heart of our interview, tell our audience about what you did before what you're doing now.
Oh, boy, we don't have time for that on this show. That would take forever. Well, Doug, I have been an entrepreneur forever. I started as a physical therapist and shortly thereafter became a manufacturer of decorative wall clocks, the kind with a picture frame, a California sunset, and a screen-printed dial. And that business ran for a few years, and then I sold it when the interest rates went quite high and became the managing partner of an architectural firm. That was quite a left turn. And then moved to California, and I was the principal of two infomercial companies, the first of which was fabulously successful and did $12 million in sales in 6 weeks, in 6 months. Oops, 6 weeks would have been unusual. And after that, started over again with another infomercial company. Debbie Allen was the spokesperson, and it was one of the first of the virtual companies, with a very small head office and everything outsourced, media buying, etc. So that's my history. And then I think I met you, Doug, about a dozen years ago when I became a coach for CEOs, entrepreneurs, and CPAs.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things for me that has really fascinated me about you as a coach is because you've been there and you've done it. You've been an entrepreneur. You've been involved in startups. You've been involved in as you said, fabulously successful companies, and I'm sure you could tell us about some of the difficulties that you've gone through, too. And I think this really sort of broadens and puts you in a better position to coach executives.
I certainly hope so.
Well, look, tell us, what are you doing now? Tell me a little bit about your business, what you do, who your clients are, who you wish they were.
Sure. Well, you know, like so many of us, I coached for years. I coached CEOs. I kind of had a pie-shaped business with CEOs, CPA firms, nonprofits, and like many coaches, subcontracted to some of the larger companies so that I could work with the Fortune 100 companies. And last year, I had the opportunity to write a book. I had met Simon Sinek, author of Start with Why, a couple of years ago. Right before him, I met John Strelecki, who wrote The Why Cafe and The Big Five for Life. And those two gentlemen became very instrumental in my thinking. I joined what we call the Why Movement, which is purpose-driven businesses, not just a purpose-driven life. And as a result of that, I decided to write a book. My book was going to be about being lonely at the top. And in preparation for writing the book, I interviewed 40, 50 CEOs around the world, and I asked them that question, are you lonely at the top? And like the good coach we all are, I also wanted to know what their challenges were and how they dealt with their challenges and what they wanted to be remembered for. And Doug, I'm sure you're not going to be surprised to hear this, but the ones that were in peer groups didn't feel lonely. They felt supported. And the ones who weren't in peer groups wished they were, but they were either in some remote place, like one fellow told me he was 2 hours out of Dublin, another one was 2 hours out of Boston, and the commute to get to an eight-hour all-day CEO meeting, coupled with the travel, was just more than they could handle. So I heard this, and I heard a need. And as we so often have to do when we're CEOs, you have to observe the trends in the market and shift with the trends. So that's exactly what I did. I decided to stop and consider whether I wanted to start virtual groups that I alone would run and have, let's say, four groups with five or six people, or whether I wanted to actually build a scalable business. And I chose the latter. So I'm on a new adventure as the CEO, two sets of communities. Do you want me to pause here?
Yeah. Well, you did. So, well, one, I mean, that is fascinating so far. And, of course, you're right. I'm having run CEO groups. I agree with you that it is a tremendous benefit, and it does remove some of the loneliness besides providing lots of other things. But I just want to take a moment and congratulate you on starting with a premise for your book.
Mm-hmm.
And being open to shifting that premise and looking at what's going on.
And, well,
and
thank
I think
you.
that's wonderful. I mean, so many people get an idea in their head and they go full bore to execute that idea, whether or not it is still valid or not.
Well, we do see that with entrepreneurs all the time, don't we? So the key is not to say, you know, you've got a great idea or you've got a lousy idea. The key is to say, how are you going to validate your idea?
Absolutely.
And in writing my book, what I ended up doing was saying, okay, what did I learn from all these CEOs? And what I heard were literally 80 or 90 challenges that they had. So what I did was I took their challenges, I did a walking meditation, and I distilled all those challenges into 10 chapters, and that's what the book is about. The secret weapon is twofold. One is having a coach or a confidant, and the second part of the secret weapon is knowing your why. So Simon Sinek wrote the foreword to the book, and the book is based on all the challenges that the CEOs had, basically distilled into 10 chapters, explaining how you could use your why as the focal point for focus, for decision-making, and guiding every decision you make, and also in solving every challenge that you have.
And I just want to caution the audience, don't think that you've got everything Froomey has to share with us because she told you those things already. We're going to get into it a lot deeper here as we go through this discussion. And I am so glad that you brought out the role that Simon played and that the Y movement played, because I know when you first got exposed to it, it was like I don't know. My impression from the outside was you became fully immersed in it, and it was like a new culture for you that you just, where was this? I can't believe I didn't know it before.
You're so right. I was totally captivated by it and by Simon's calling it a movement. And so I actually spread the word all the time. I use John Strzelecki's Y Cafe, which is a tiny little book, but it is so impactful. And I literally have boxes of them, and I give them away every time I go to a meeting. I give them to people whenever I speak. If there's 80 people in the room, 80 people go home with a book. That's how passionate I feel about it. Because of this big shift and because of writing the book, I realized that there was this hole in the market for virtual roundtables and doing things in a different way. And I think I got really, really lucky, Doug, because technology developed enough, and I'm sure within the next 5-10 years it'll be even more so, but we can certainly see people, we can see their expressions, and what's really different about these roundtables is that they're not all run by CEOs. They are run by experts. So, for example, if someone is an expert in the field of project management, someone I was talking to this morning is an expert project manager, that person can create a group of 4 to 8, we kind of max out at 8, but 4 to 8 individuals who are project managers. So it's focused around issues rather than size of company.
Because I like that a lot.
Thank you. I noticed that, Doug, when I was talking to people, like one, for example, is a CEO in Minneapolis who was a salesman all his life, became the CEO of an organization that was formerly a family-owned business, and he is owned by a company in China. So clearly, as you know, many of the CEOs in your former groups, that's a different issue than a founder.
Yeah.
So he wants to be with people who understands him.
Well, and what I like about what you're talking about by building your groups around issues is that when I was building groups around, initially around size, it's almost an impossibility because nobody wants to be the smallest, nobody wants to be the biggest, and everybody wants to be in a group with people bigger than them.
Right.
Now that becomes impossible mathematically to fill a group of people that meets that kind of criteria, you know?
Exactly.
It's like I want to be in a group of 3, but no more than one person. I mean, you can't do it.
So, right.
You know, so I think the idea of compatibility is absolutely key to any group, any kind of peer group that's really going to help you. And the idea of building it around issues is just great. I hadn't heard that before. I really am excited about that.
Well, the other thing that I'm excited about also is that instead of having coaching that goes along with the membership or participation, we're offering just enough just-in-time coaching. So what that means is you can imagine the expert project manager now has 8 people in his group, and it's more like mentoring because if one of them has an issue, that person will want to call their expert team leader to say, how do I deal with this? So that's a little different than coaching. Certainly pure coaching models aren't telling people what to do. But when people are lost and they don't know what to do, who do they ask? They should ask an expert, right?
Absolutely.
So if you were to see...
Go ahead.
If you were the CEO of, let's say, a manufacturing firm, if you were a startup entrepreneur, and you wanted to know what to do on a given day because you have a big challenge, wouldn't it be cool to call me and say, what do I do, instead of spending an hour on coaching? Because you don't have time for that.
Yeah. I think there's a place for both of them, and there's a time for both of them.
Absolutely.
It has to be right. But what really fascinates me about what you just talked about there is the concept of just-in-time coaching, because everybody today is geared to instant gratification.
Right.
Business is fast-paced. I can't wait till my peer group meets next month or next week to talk about an issue. I can't wait till my scheduled meeting with my coach next week or next month. So the idea of just-in-time is very, very much appealing if it can be managed.
Right. Well, it's kind of like rollover minutes. You know, you need someone this month for 5 minutes. Maybe next month you need them for 20 minutes, but it's not constant. They're sound bites.
That's funny that you mentioned that. I was just at AT&T today, and I'm trying to figure out, what do I do with my 4,000 rollover minutes that I'm obviously never going to use?
Like, I'm sure you've told people, call me anytime. They don't call you anytime. They want to call you when they need you.
Yes.
But nobody's going to really abuse your time. And if they do, that's when you offer them a coaching package.
Well, look,
I think you need a little more than I'm offering you.
I want to step away from this for just a minute, sort of let the audience sit on this idea, and ask you the question that I've asked everybody that I have ever interviewed, and I've been fascinated with their answers, none of which have been duplicates. And that is, what is your guiding principle for you as an individual? What experience, life lesson did you go through that sort of created your true north, your guiding principle, whatever you want to call it? Share that with us.
Whoa. So what occurred to me first was that you were asking me what my why is.
Yes.
But then I realized you're not really asking me that. You're asking me what formed me or what what guided my life. So I will tell you very simply that when I was 24 and I was a physical therapist, I was in a water skiing accident and felt a lump in my neck and found out that I had a Hodgkin's lymphoma. And it was because of my persistence and because I was a therapist and I was able to basically go door to door from one doctor to the next, that's the reason I'm still here. So I truly believe that we are each responsible for our lives, that no one can do it for you. So whether you have a health issue or whatever, we are ultimately responsible for ourselves. And so it's important to constantly be vigilant and be proactive. So I would have to say that my guiding principle is to be conscious, recognize when things need change. And that can happen on the personal level, on the business level, you know, being unhappy in a marriage or recognizing that your business is no longer going to be viable if you don't make a change. Watching trends on the horizon, so you, unlike Blockbuster, Netflix doesn't sneak up on you. So it's that's my guiding principle, I guess, is to stay aware and not get my feet stuck in cement. It's like, who moved your cheese? My sneakers are always around my neck.
You know, I love that because there are so many business principles, business ideas that say that same thing in a different way, and I really like the way you have kind of framed it. It sounds so simple to do that it shouldn't scare anybody, but just being aware and taking action, whether that's on your health, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. or whether it has to do with your business.
Right. You okay. can't be snoozing.
Well, you know, and as you and I both know, we unfortunately from time to time run into people that are really working hard at something that has already been proven to not, it's not going to work.
Right.
And they don't lift their head up and look around. It's the taking time out to sharpen the saw kind of theory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is great. Well, look, let's thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
We get back to the book, share with our audience, what is your why?
Oh, I couldn't wait for you to ask. So my personal why is to create a safe place for people to talk about what matters most. And when I say my personal why, it's because as a child, and your why, by the way, is found in the stories you tell about your childhood. There's always something in our childhood that creates belief systems that guide us. So I was very little when I started school. I was 3 years old, and my mother was a working mother, so she put me in school. And so not only was I young, but I was also tiny. And I was so shy. I was that kid who hung onto the back of my father's knee, you know, like a ball and chain, so he could drag me around. I was always hiding behind him. So for me, I never felt safe as a child. Growing up, I didn't feel safe in school because I wasn't a kid who raised my hand, so I didn't get good marks for years because I wasn't outspoken, and so I didn't feel safe. So as a grown-up, I'm not as shy as I used to be, although I was just before I became a coach, and I've kind of developed since, I guess you could say, but still, I want to create that safe place for people to talk about what matters most. And actually, the tagline for CEO Virtual Roundtables is discussing what matters most. So for me, it's very important to know what your why is and then align it with your business. Because if there's so many reasons, as you know, for knowing your why. But when you can align your personal why with your business why, then you're truly doing your life's calling.
You know,
that's why it matters to me what people talk about in the roundtables, that they feel safe with an expert and all of those things.
I love the use of the word safe. You know, we all are kind of aware of people that are not in safe environments, whether it's third world countries, whether it's abused or battered women, whether it's underprivileged people, minorities. They're in situations that are not physically, emotionally safe for them. And we can kind of relate to that. Mm-hmm. But I think you bring up the issue that is more day-to-day that we sort of ignore. It's like the persistent cough that hasn't developed into pneumonia yet, so we ignore it. And that is so many times in our personal and in our work environment during the day, people don't feel safe about expressing their feelings.
Right.
And so for you to set that as your why, to create a safe place, and I'm sure you mean personal and business, a safe place for
mm-hmm.
people to express themselves, is really admirable. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And that plays into your roundtable. Tell me some of the challenges of running a virtual roundtable.
Okay. Well, probably the biggest challenge that anybody ever has, especially when Mercury's in retrograde as it is today, is technology. Technology can be a bear, whether it's about emails or whatever. So we have found some fabulous technology which allows our participants to be secure. You know how you go to a conference and as you go to lunch, you ask the room facilitator, is it okay to leave these documents in the room or do I need to take them with me?
Yeah.
Well, right? So this is very similar. Each of our rooms is dedicated to a group. It's not, so nobody shares the room. Nobody else goes into the room. So finding that technology, that was the first thing. And I'm sure, I wonder how long it'll take for us to be able to reach out and touch someone in a virtual room. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, you know, it can't be too far off, can it?
I don't think so. So I think that's why I think we're the future. One of the other challenges of being virtual is that people who are not as comfortable with technology and say things like, well, you have to be in a room with someone else. How could you possibly get into a deep conversation if you're not in a room? Well, you know, for me, I have several children, and all my children are very technology focused. So we FaceTime, we text, we Skype, etc. And so for me, I know my children. They may only be two-dimensional on the screen, but you can see enough of someone's facial expressions and body language that you can achieve it. It's just a question of being comfortable. I mean, so many coaches coach on the phone, and they don't see people, and yet they start to develop a knack for listening to the nuances of voices so that they know how to coach their clients properly, right?
Yep. You know, some of the virtual meetings, I'm not going to say roundtables because I'm not aware of anybody doing that besides you, but some of the virtual meetings that people have tried to run as businesses have sort of focused on the theory that we need to get together physically once to meet each other and to see each other, touchy-feely kind of thing, and then we can work virtually. Has that been your experience too, or can you just jump right in and our only connection is going to be virtual?
Well, actually, our only connection will not only be virtual. So we are having an annual retreat, which we're calling Leaders Inspiring Leaders. So the first retreat I'm actually doing with John Strelecki, and we're doing it February 6th and 7th in Palm Desert. And so I do believe that people should meet each other, and certainly when you're in an intimate group with people who share the same issues, eventually you're going to want to meet. So we're offering this annual event so that people have that opportunity. But you see, because we're having an annual event, we're also not limiting people by their geography. So if someone wants to be in a group with someone in Germany, for example, you know, the annual trek to the event is a big, awesome deal. But having to meet first, I think in a way it's almost more wonderful to have a relationship and then meet, because you know your meeting's going to be really deep.
Absolutely.
So we're just
doing
things backwards, you know.
we don't
have to be mainstream.
You know, I know that confidentiality is key in this kind of a relationship, but is there any stories or a story that sort of demonstrates the success of your virtual workshop that you can share with us?
Well, there's always different conversations. One of the conversations we had recently was about sharing the truth. one of the CEOs was very reluctant to share. He had 191 employees in three different locations and was having a very severe cash flow issue because he lost a very big client. And so he was getting input from the rest of the group as to how much he should share. And there is a point when you can't pay payroll that you do have to share something. You can't just, you know, so the first time the payroll checks are late by a few hours, you can say, whoops, you know, if you're so inclined, the payroll company goofed. But you can't do that the next payroll and the next payroll. So the discussion for 2 hours focused on how much truth you can tell. And that's the kind of conversation we have. It could be about the truth. It could be about conflict. It could be about another major one we had was about conflicting decisions. So what happens when you're afraid that the market may shift and you need to hold on to your cash, but on the other hand, you know that if you implement some new technology, you're going to be so much more efficient. So should you invest? Those are the kind of conversations we have.
Okay.
They're always deep conversations. I'm sure you've been in many similar ones.
If it was deep, it was usually somebody else running the conversation, but I've enjoyed them.
I don't believe that.
Frumi, hold on. Don't go away. We have to take a break for a commercial here, and then we're going to come right back and talk some more about your book, and maybe it'll get you to share what some of the key challenges were that you discovered in your research.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Perfect.
He used to pester me for a walk. Now, it's the other way around. Hoag Physicians perform more orthopedic procedures than any other hospital in Orange County. Our orthopedic program, in fact, ranks among the top five in the entire country. So whatever it is you live for, you can get back to it sooner. Because as it turns out, the best part of life is simply living it. Hoag for Life. Visit us at www.hoag.org.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
And now back to Doug and his guest.
Okay, if you just joined us, we're talking to Dr. Frumi Rachel Barr. She's telling us a little bit about her book, A CEO's Secret Weapon, How to Accelerate Success, and a lot more about her personal philosophies of business, her latest venture, founding CEO Virtual Roundtables, and it's been a fascinating conversation. Frumi, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's so much fun to talk to you, Doug.
We never get the opportunity to have this kind of in-depth conversation, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day.
Thank you.
Well, look, you alluded earlier to the fact that out of the 80 or 90 issues that you discovered CEOs were facing, that you kind of boiled it down to maybe top 10 challenges. Can you pick a few of those and kind of give our audience a little idea of what were some of the challenges that you found most CEOs are really dealing with that are critical?
Okay. So life, how is life under a microscope? Knowing that whatever you're doing, people are always watching. So if you're a public CEO, of course, the media is always watching you and everything you do is reported. But even when you have a smaller business, as you whiz through the office on the way to your own office, everyone's watching to see if you're in a good mood, if you're in a bad mood, if you have a scowl on your face, what happened, you know, did we lose a client? You know, it doesn't matter that you spilled your coffee on your lap and that's why you're cranky. You know, people make things up, right?
Yep.
So that's one. Certainly, one of the biggest ones was the fear of shifting trends. How do you know whether someone... a competitor is sneaking up on you. one of the strategies that one of the CEOs shared about how not to be lonely at the top was, he said, you know, you just can't run a business by sitting in your office. You just have to get out there. And I said, well, where do you go? He said, well, I visit with competitors. I go to trade shows. The advantage of doing that is, as he said, he always knew what was going on in the market. So he was out there talking to people. He knew when he had to change something. I saw an article yesterday about whether or not a CEO should rely on their sales team to tell them what's going on. And I reflected about this particular CEO who mentioned he was always out there. And the answer is, as the CEO, you know, the buck stops at your desk, or as I say in my book, all decisions skid to a stop on your desk. So you have to be so vigilant about so many different things, and you can't hide. That won't work. Some of the other challenges were, always this challenge always shows up, high stakes conversations. How do I whether it's with a VP, whether it's with a client, how do I frame this conversation? Where do I start? And you know, some wonderful books that are written on the topic, like Crucial Confrontations, but people don't study those things in business school, so they come to their position not knowing how to do so many of those things. And one of the other things I heard was that 90% of the time they're bored, and 10% it's sheer terror.
Well, and I think it's even worse than the fact that they don't study. The fact is that since we've all been talking since we were, you know, 4 or 5 years old, whatever, we think we're good at it just because we've been doing it, and yet we are not all great communicators.
Right. Right. So I'm sure everyone's heard this question before, and it is one of my favorite, is what conversation should you be having and with whom?
Yeah.
Right?
I love
that's one of my totally favorite questions. And the other big issue that I discovered was very few companies, and I can't even believe this, very few companies have a decision-making model. So, and it's even worse now. When you ask that question, so many, it's the people at the table who have the loudest voice and say, I think that's the problem. And then everybody goes chasing after some solution to the problem that they stated without even going further to know if that's the real problem or how many alternatives they should look into or what the objectives are. So I found that one was a very big issue.
What issue surprised you the most, Rumi?
I would say how few people really knew what their purpose was. They couldn't articulate it. I mean,
wow.
Mostly people say we're in business to make money, but why did you choose this business? Why should anybody care if you just want to make money? You know, in the world of being a coach or a consultant, what differentiates one person from the other? How do you know? I would rather trust someone who's passionate about what they do and has a very strong sense of their purpose than someone who just has been practicing for 20 years. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You're back to the why again, aren't we?
I circle back to the why so many times I can't begin to tell you.
I have to tell you that I have been so influenced by Simon's talk and video. I can't remember whether it was a YouTube or a TED video, but that I have it on my iPad. I carry it around, and I would almost be embarrassed to tell you how many times I pull it out in the middle of conversations with CEOs and say, let's just take 5 minutes and listen to this.
I think that's wonderful. And it is a YouTube video. It is a TED Talk. And there's 13 million viewers. I think Simon's TED Talk is one of the most popular YouTube videos that exist.
Yeah. Yeah. There's even more because I've downloaded it, so it's not counting. But it's there. And I think it frames the conversation that you need to have so beautifully. So.
Well, let me tell you how to go even deeper with why, because I think this is a very interesting thing. John Strelecki talks about the big five for life. So once you know your why, how are you going to live it? So many people don't live their why because they always postpone it and think they can live it later. And in fact, I'd love to share a story with you, but tell me when we just have a few minutes left and I can wrap up with that particular story, because it is so impressive when someone knows their uses that with their employees. So in his second book, which is called The Big Five for Life, he talks about, have you read that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a copy when I next see you. So he talks about a leader who allows his employees to pursue their Big Five for Life. So, for example, I know that one leader at Boeing often offer courses, people the ability to take courses. And there was one person who wanted to take a cooking course. And you'd wonder, why would Boeing allow somebody on their dime to take a cooking course? But just imagine that leader knew how important the cooking course was to this individual and how devoted this individual would be to the leader. Because they feel that they're heard and they're a real person. So in this particular book, he writes about a leader who built his company by understanding his employees, their purpose for existing, as he calls it, which is their why, and their Big Five for Life. So anybody who had a unique idea could bring that idea to a panel of people, and they could decide whether they felt that that idea had enough merit for the leader to invest in. And as a result, he's sitting in this skyscraper with 14 different companies under the roof. And that was because he never lost his brilliant mind. He built his empire, basically, with allowing his people to live their dreams, too. Isn't that a beautiful idea?
I love that story. That is great. That is great. And there's so many lessons that story typifies about engagement, about hearing people, about recognition. It's just wonderful.
So
we're going to run out of time here in a minute. So I did have one more question, more questions. One, before I forget, what's the secret weapon to accelerate success?
Oh, knowing your why.
Knowing your why. Okay. Frumi, is there anything else about you or your firm that we haven't talked about today? Anything that I've kind of interrupted you on that you want to share with the audience before we kind of wrap this up?
The only thing I want to share is that once John Strelecki wrote that book, he actually found a leader, a fellow by the name of Jacques, a CEO from Montreal, my hometown, who lives his Big Five for Life in his company like this fictitious person in the book did. And he will be at our leaders, Inspiring Leaders Summit in Palm Desert, February 6th and 7th. We're going to interview him there.
How great. So, which leads me into, how does someone find out more about you, your firm, and your services? How do they get in touch with you? How do they get more information?
Our URL, www.CEOVirtualRoundtables.com, or my website, if that's all too much to remember, frumi.com, and that way you can link to all of those things, and also to my 100 must reads, 119 book summaries.
There's I will have to say that one of my first exposures to you that really blew my socks off was your book summaries. You just do a wonderful job, and I have always enjoyed them. So
thank you.
Thank you for that. Well, look, was that the story you wanted to tell?
No, I do have a two-minute story.
So give us the story here before we wrap it up.
Okay, so imagine if every single day someone walked around behind you writing down who you saw, what you did, and how you spent your time every single day. And imagine if you spent 90% of your time at the office, if you were angry 80% of your time, and if you said you loved your family and loved the outdoors, but you only spent 2% of your time doing that. And imagine if, at the end of your life, a museum was built to commemorate how you really lived, not how you wanted to live, but how you really lived. So it would show you being angry 80% of the time, at the office 90% of the time, and only spending 2% of your time with your family. And what if God's little joke on all of us is that you get to be a tour guide in your own museum? How would you want your museum to look? So that's what John Strelecki calls a museum day. Create museum days every day. Live your life, live your why, and Live your big five. That's the story.
Thank you very much. You have created a museum day for us and our listeners with the information you've shared with us today. Truly, it is inspiring. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for becoming a member of the Coaching Perspective radio community.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Okay, we still live there? Yeah, we're good. Okay, let me just wrap us up here. Just a self-commercial here. We've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years now under the banner of the Coaching Perspective, and helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. In doing that, we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual member. In doing that, we work with everybody from the top executive to the newest entry-level position in either group or individual coaching sessions. We work with coaching people on developing specific business skills that they need, or maybe some sharpening of skills that they already know. And frequently, we do a lot of work on communication workshops and team-building workshops. So that's what we do. Next week, Halloween. Join us before you go out trick-or-treating for our Halloween special, complete with ghosts and goblins. We're going to explore some of the scary things about coaching. We're going to talk about some of the ghosts that live in the coaching world and have a lot of fun with that. And on November 7th, our guest is going to be Nelson Zaglaski, who will be sharing his views on the linkage between personal development and leadership development. And the last announcement, November 12th, is the ICF Orange County monthly meeting. It will be at the Wyndham Hotel, and the topic is, do you want more clients but don't love selling? Come listen. Join Mike Brenhaug as he shares some inspiring success stories on how to execute a sales strategy with high confidence and great results. You can get more information on that by going to coachesoforangecounty.com. Well, be sure to tune in again. We're live on the air almost every Thursday, 4 p.m. Where else but octalkradio.net, Orange County's premier talk radio station. Also, look for our weekly newsletter on Wednesdays to find out more about our guests. If you're not getting it, drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. I'll make sure you're on the list. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you enjoyed the show today and that the discussion with Froomey has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals and your why. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at life from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.